Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Updates on coronavirus, the proposal to make temporary shooting bans in areas north of Yellowstone National Park permanent, and how manufacturers in Montana pivoted due to the pandemic. It's Tuesday, June 23rd. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana health officials are reporting 69 new cases of COVID-19 and a new death. A man in his 60s died in a Yellowstone County hospital on Saturday. It is the 21st death recorded in the state and the fourth in Yellowstone County attributed to COVID-19. More than 2,800 test results were reported between Friday and Sunday. They resulted in 32 cases Saturday, 20 on Sunday, and 17 on Monday. The 32 cases reported on Saturday mark the second highest single-day tally, trailing only the 35 cases reported on March 26th. Montana's known case total stands at 734. There are 163 active cases and 13 hospitalizations. A state of Montana spokesperson says she was wrong in telling the Billings Gazette last week that a female inmate who tested positive for the novel coronavirus had been isolated for the entire length of her illness. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Carolyn Bright with the Montana Department of Corrections says the situation had been miscommunicated to her last week. She told YPR Monday that an asymptomatic inmate at the Montana Women's Prison in Billings had interacted with other inmates for 2 days before staff isolated her.
Our clinical services staff received information after a short period of time that the inmate may have been exposed to COVID. So at that point, the inmate was immediately quarantined.
She says when the inmate arrived in the latter part of May, the department was allowing prison transfers on a case-by-case basis, and a 14-day quarantine was not required for all transfers. In recent weeks, cases of COVID-19 in prisons and jails have soared across the U.S. Bright says the Montana Department of Corrections does not suspect community spread of the disease at the women's prison, and the inmate is the only positive case staff is aware of. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
A federal magistrate judge has ordered two women from Pennsylvania to spend 2 days in jail for leaving a boardwalk and damaging a thermal area in Yellowstone National Park. U.S. District Magistrate Judge Mark Carman also ordered 31-year-old Tara Davali and 30-year-old Sarah Piotrowski to pay a $350 fine, about $107 each in restitution, and ban them from the park for 2 years. Prosecutors say the women illegally left the boardwalk in the park's Midway Geyser Basin on June 11th. Prosecutors say they damaged orange bacterial mats at Opal Pool. The Custer-Gallatin National Forest is proposing to make temporary shooting bans in two small areas north of Yellowstone National Park permanent. Rachel Kramer reports.
U.S. Forest Service officials say the two sections northwest of Gardner are too close to private residences, Highway 89, the Gardner Airport, and Old Yellowstone Trail. In a recent press release, officials say their locations make it, quote, difficult, if not impossible, to safely shoot a firearm of the caliber needed to harvest a bison or other big game animal. Bison migrate out of Yellowstone every winter in search of food at lower elevations. Their path funnels through Beatty Gulch, a stretch of U.S. Forest Service land where bison hunting is allowed. Since 2016, the Forest Service has temporarily banned shooting in an 18-acre section of the approximately 150-acre area, along with 5 acres at another site near the McConnell Fishing Access Area. If the new proposal is approved, the shooting ban in those sections would be permanent. Bow hunting would still be allowed. Gardner District Ranger Mike Tom told YPR Monday that the Forest Service has been working closely with Park County, the state of Montana, and local and tribal partners to address the safety concerns during the hunt. He said the proposal, if approved, would not change rules for the areas people were able to hunt last year. Public comments on the proposal will be accepted from June 24th to August 22nd via mail and email. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Businesses across the state found themselves making new products in response to pandemic shortages. Montana companies pivoted from manufacturing items like fishing waders and craft spirits to gowns and disinfectant, and kept people employed in the process. Kylie Moore reports for Yellowstone Public Radio News. This story is part of a series that looks at potentially lasting ways Montana adapted during the pandemic. It's funded in part by the Solutions Journalism Network.
Inside an old sawmill building from the 1800s, people are racing to staple as many elastic bands to pieces of plastic and foam as they can. Usually, Coaster Cycles employees in Bonner are welding metal to make pedal-operated vehicles known as pedicabs, but they switched gears. It happened after CEO Ben Morris saw an open-source face shield design on LinkedIn mid-March.
It's a super simple design and not technical at all to build. I've had my kids put them together at the house.
His company's products transport Starbucks coffee, move raw materials in Tesla factories, and shuttle beer around NFL stadiums. But after jumping through cleaning protocols and insurance hurdles, now the company is also supplying the New York City Department of Health with 150,000 face shields. It all started with a call to Washington State's Providence Hospital Group, which committed to 500,000 face shields to protect staff from COVID-19. That since turned into supporting all 51 Providence hospitals in 8 states and a whole lot more. Here's Ben Morris again.
We've sent product to dental offices, nursing homes, hospice groups, veterinarians, gyms, hair salons, nail salons, hotels and resorts, and everything else in between.
As pedicab construction ground to a halt and non-essential factory operations shuttered, Morris had to let go the majority of his staff. Not for long, though.
We ended up offering jobs back to everyone who we had laid off.
Morris even rallied other nearby businesses to help fulfill orders. Warehouse space is getting tight.
These new opportunities and these new contracts came up, and we're like, all right, well, maybe we can continue to do this ongoing in a small little subset of our business.
Locals are proving they can handle the work. Morris thinks that could make lasting dents in relying so much on an international supply chain. To that end, the state's Manufacturing Outreach and Assistance Center, based at Montana State University, is working to connect healthcare providers with close to 50 manufacturers in the state making what they might need, from 15 craft distilleries using leftover beer for hand sanitizer to a pump company making hospital beds. Other companies you might not expect are part of that pivot. Sims is a brand synonymous with fly fishing, but Bozeman Health asked the company if it could also make heavy-duty medical gowns. Here's Fred Dennis, the Senior Director of Merchandising and Materials at Sims.
That's what America's supposed to be about, and that's what Montana is supposed to be about, right? Someone asks for help, you step up.
A team of designers, product developers, and sewers who might have otherwise been without a job worked quickly to create patterns and prototypes. Shortages made it hard for other companies to get the right kind of fabrics, but Sims had plenty of rugged fabrics that work for waders and rain jackets on hand. It took less than 2 weeks from the initial call for Sims to sew gowns. Products like a shirt or boots usually take 18 months from concept to creation.
I won't use the word miracle, but holy cow, it was tough.
Within months, the fishing company has shipped more than 6,000 gowns to more than 25 states. Now they're researching what it would take to get FDA approved to make gowns after emergency orders are lifted. Hospitals needed other materials too, and with global supplies hard to come by, they started looking in state. You're listening to machines humming away inside Missoula's Rocky Mountain Biologicals to make the liquid that surrounds coronavirus swabs and gets them safely from a patient to a lab. The viral transport medium, or VTM as it's called, is necessary to preserve the sample's ribonucleic acid for analysis. Typically, the company's serums and sterile solutions go into cholesterol test kits. Others are part of human cancer therapies and veterinary vaccines. They'd never made this before. But in mid-March, Community Medical Center in Missoula approached them with concerns of low supply. Here's COO Jeremy Amberson with what happened next.
We just jumped on it and ordered the few reagents that we still needed to produce the VTM and pushed everything through our quality system as fast as we could and started manufacturing within about a week.
The all-hands-on-deck approach worked. Local facilities didn't run out as testing ramped up.
Within about a week and a half, we were shipping all over Montana to hospitals, to the state lab, and to a lot of smaller clinics and smaller towns throughout Montana. And I would say within 2 weeks, we were shipping throughout the Northwest and quickly began shipping all across the U.S.
Rocky Mountain Biologicals is planning to keep creating the transport medium in addition to its other products for the foreseeable future.
From our standpoint, there's no reason for us to not keep offering this product.
Whether new products become a mainstay or a blip on the radar, companies said jumping into new markets helped them feel productive and useful during a crisis. For Yellowstone Public Radio and the Solutions Journalism Network, I'm Kylie Moore.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.